today as we come to the table.
You're called by God to biblically evaluate each other, to help us, to help each other iron sharpen iron and keep your walk right with God. If you can't do that, what are you doing running to earthly judges? You're going there when you're going to be judging angels in heaven. You need to learn how to biblically evaluate. He said, I speak to your shame. Is it so? There's not a wise man among you, no, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. In other words, there is the biblical judgment. We are fruit inspectors. That doesn't mean we walk around trying to be a fruit inspector. I think we get a clipboard and walk around, I'm here to inspect your fruit today. There's a problem, right? That's not really fruit inspecting. That's kind of fruit cake, all right? So you have to have the difference of what the two are.
As Christians, fellowship with other believers is one of the most important things for us to partake in. Unfortunately, we often sink into our routines and forget to challenge our brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, Pastor Mark wants you to know that you need to utilize your Christian relationships to challenge others and be challenged. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. You should never be afraid to address other believers on issues that you know isn't right. When the fruit from someone's life isn't lining up with who they say they are, take the initiative and confirm where they stand in Christ. Don't stop there. Always be checking for where you stand in Christ. If your fruit isn't right, something's wrong. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Matthew chapter 7. As we continue on looking at Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, we find ourselves midstream in the Sermon on the Mount with the Lord. And I want to read a few verses here and then pray over this before we jump in and lay the groundwork for it. Notice what he says there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that sees every heart. Only you can righteously judge impurity. But you've called us, Lord, to understand biblical judgment, to be done in a righteous way as opposed to unbiblical judgment. And Lord, I thank you for showing us the difference. I thank you for showing us how both of them operate. And Lord, the need that we have to understand biblical evaluation and biblical discernment to be able to reach not only the world around us, but even to minister to other brothers and sisters that may be straying off of the path. And so I pray now that as we get into your word, God, you would pour out your spirit, you would open your word to us. And once again, Lord, that you now would be our teacher. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now on the screen, I know it says judging, seeking, and building. That's because I planned on going all the way through to the end of chapter 7. I was quite ambitious and maybe too ambitious. Obviously, I was. We're not going to make it to the end of chapter 7. But we are going to get up through verse 14. So we'll get halfway through. So we're going to be looking at judging and seeking. And the Lord's going to talk about biblical judging as opposed to unbiblical judging is what we'll be discussing. And then also seeking the Lord and how we can also get the answer from the Lord and how to seek him. And actually we'll be adding to that in the seeking of the Lord, how to find our way to the narrow gate into the kingdom. Now, judging, this is something that's a very sensitive subject. And especially in the world today, we live in a world today that says, accept me, support me, regardless of how I live, regardless of what my lifestyle is, regardless of what I do, support me, accept me. And if the church says, hey, we love you, but we can't accept how you're living, then what happens? You're judging me. You're doing this, you're doing that. It's used almost as a weapon oftentimes in the world to silence the Christian from addressing what the truth is. And sadly, oftentimes in the church, it is used as a weapon to silence a brother or sister who's trying to get another brother or sister back on track. Don't judge me, man. Listen, there is an unbiblical judgment. There is a wrong judgment. But there's also a biblical judgment, a biblical discernment, and a biblical evaluation. And if we don't understand the difference, and if we as a church don't know how to biblically judge, if you want to use that terminology, we're not going to be able to minister to the world and reach them, and we're certainly not going to be able to encourage each other as the body of Christ. So what is the difference? How do we know? Well, again, the Lord is going to show us what true judgment is and true judgment is not based on what the meanings of what this is. But really, we're going to see that judgment, really, whether it be biblical or unbiblical, comes down to attitude. What is my attitude when I'm doing this evaluation? What is my attitude in this judgment? Am I doing it based on, number one, my opinion, and number two, the Word of God? If I'm not doing it on the Word of God, it's null and void already. And if I'm doing it just based on my opinion, then there is a problem. We are not to judge one another with our opinions, but we are going to see there has to be some level of biblical judgment based on the Word of God, or we can't preach the truth. And secondly, we can't reach those around us, again, that have strayed off the path, as we mentioned before. And we see this in Scripture, again, where Paul, again, addresses someone in the church of Corinth. There was a brother in the church of Corinth that was living in sexual sin. And Paul addressed it. He said, you've got to tell that brother to repent. The brother didn't repent. And Paul said, you need to put them out of the church because it will corrupt the whole church. And the goal is that the brother might be restored. You see, whenever there's church discipline, it's not just so that somebody is disciplined or publicly humiliated. The idea is that they might realize the seriousness of their sin and that they might be restored. We see Jesus judging when he addresses the Pharisees. You brood of vipers, he said. Now, if the Lord said we weren't supposed to ever have a biblical judgment or a biblical evaluation of judgment, the Pharisees could have said to him, you're breaking your own word. You said not to judge, and now you're judging us. So very clearly, there must be a level of judgment. And again, it's going to bear itself out in the language as we jump into it. So let's do just that. Look at verse 1 here where Jesus says in chapter 7, judge not that you not be judged. Again, that's probably most every unsaved person in the world knows at least one verse in the Bible, and that's probably it right there. Because that's the one they always share when you try to bring up Jesus, right? You know how you're living. Judge not, lest you be judged. Well, let's talk about what the word judge here means and what the Lord was saying to give this a proper biblical analysis. The word judge here is the word krino in the language, and it means literally to pronounce an opinion concerning right or wrong and then to place condemnation alongside it. You see what's going on? He's saying, do not pronounce your opinion to someone and their life and then pronounce your condemnation on it as you're sharing with them. Do not do that. That has nothing to do with biblical judgment. It has nothing to do with evaluation of someone's life and confronting their sin to lead them to the Lord. It has to do with me not saying, I don't think I like the way you're living. I don't like your hair. You need to cut your hair. You're not a real Christian. I don't like your cars or whatever, the kind of car you drive. You're not a real Christian. Well, I don't know what that would be, but either way, the bottom line is I don't like whatever it might be. You know, I remember hearing years ago, and when I got saved, I was brought into the Calvary Chapel movement, and everybody wears blue jeans and T-shirts, or maybe sometimes shirts with balloons on them, whatever the case might be, because now you know, what is that on his shirt? Let's just get that out so now you can focus on the teaching today. I tried the whole service to figure out what was on your shirt. I've heard that so many times. So I just started out going, it's a balloon, you know, or whatever. It's an amoeba. Not an amoeba, whatever those other things are. Anyway, Paisley. Okay. Looks like an amoeba to me. But anyway, I've gotten so sidetracked, I have no idea where I was. So we'll get back to focus here. The bottom line is we can't judge based on our own judgment. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, again, growing up in the South, there's a lot of things we didn't even realize that we've put in us from the South that we don't realize are there. Maybe church tradition. It might even be more than the South. It might just be church tradition that doesn't really line up with Scripture. I'll give you one. What you wear to church. Now, again, in the South, that used to be a big deal. It's not as much of a big deal anymore. But it used to be a huge deal. And I respect the position of those that always wanted to wear a suit or whatever. I think suits are great. I, for me, was kind of glad God let me get involved in a movement that it wasn't as much about a suit because I feel more comfortable in this type of clothing. But I have no problem with a suit. A suit is fine. You want to wear a suit to church and this kind of thing. But I remember speaking with someone that told me, if you don't wear a suit to church because you're in the presence of God, you're wrong before God. You need to repent and put on a suit before you ever, whatever. Especially as a pastor, right? And I very lovingly was sharing with that person. I said, well, let me ask you this. Because this was a true believer. I knew this person. I knew they knew the Lord. And I was going to try to reason with them. I said, let me ask you this. You say I'm in the presence of the Lord when I'm teaching. I said, let me ask you this. When I'm in the car, am I in the presence of the Lord? Well, yeah, okay, technically, yeah. I said, when I go out and play sports, am I in the presence of the Lord? He said, okay, I see what you're saying. And I think you got him thinking. I said, look, the Bible says if you know Christ, you never leave his presence. You're in the presence of God at your home, on your back porch, mowing your grass, in your car, and I'm not going to wear a suit mowing my grass. Now, if I want to wear a suit mowing my grass, I can. But look what's happened with tradition. Somehow that got equated with respect unto God. And biblically, there's no basis for that whatsoever. So we have to make sure that we aren't judging others on our Southern tradition, on our opinions, because that's when God says, no, you don't do that. If you do that on your opinion or your condemnation, that is unbiblical judging. But what is proper judging? We're going to see several things here I'm going to point out that are proper biblical judging. And the thing we have to have in order to be a strong church in the last days, in reaching the world around us, and again, as I said, even keeping ourselves on track as brothers and sisters. And the first thing is we have to make sure we're spiritual in our judgment. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says, but he that is spiritual judges all things. Well, wait a minute. We're not supposed to judge. No, we are, but spiritually. Yet he himself is judged by no man. That is, no one condemns or makes their opinion on you, but you can make a spiritual evaluation about their life in love, if you're walking in the Spirit, in ministry. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So if you're walking in the mind of Christ, and you're in tune with the Spirit, and you're going by the Word of God, and not any tradition, or where you grew up, or anything else, then you can properly evaluate in the Word of God. He says, this is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 5. Again, Paul says this, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, and you unworthy, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So there's going to be judgment here now. You're going to be judging angels in the kingdom. That's going to be a wild scene, isn't it? But in this life, there's going to be things you need to evaluate. And I'll get back to the evaluation in a moment. He says, if you then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, why do you appoint those to judge who are least esteemed in the church? Here was the issue. The church was going to the worldly judges to solve church issues. He said, look, you're going to be judging angels. And you're called by God to biblically evaluate each other to help us, to help each other, iron sharpen iron, and keep your walk right with God. If you can't do that, what are you doing running to earthly judges? You're going there when you're going to be judging angels in heaven? You need to learn how to biblically evaluate. He said, I speak to your shame. Is it so? There's not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. In other words, there is the biblical judgment. We are fruit inspectors. Now, it doesn't mean we walk around trying to be a fruit inspector. I think we get a clipboard and walk around, I'm here to inspect your fruit today. There's a problem, right? That's not really fruit inspecting. That's kind of fruit cake, all right? So you have to have the difference of what the two are. But the reality is, if you're with someone and you see something wrong, in love, we're supposed to address each other. For example, let's say I wasn't married. And all of a sudden, as the pastor, I decide I'm going to move in with somebody. And you're going, oh my goodness, our pastor just moved in with someone, right? Maybe we should address him. Well, I don't know, don't judge. No, that's not what it meant. It meant something very different. We need to address this. So let's go to our pastor. And you come to me and you say, you know what, I really need to talk here because you're saying that you're a Christian, you're our pastor, you're doing all these things, but the fruit of your life is not lining up with that. And I would either have to say, well, I'm in sin, I need to repent, or I need to say, well, wait a minute, why isn't the fruit in my life lining up with who I say that I am? You see, here's the bottom line. If I say that I'm an orange tree, there should be oranges. If I say I'm an apple tree, there should be apples. So whatever we're claiming to be, there should be fruit on your branches, the branches of your life. People should be able to say, that's a Christian. I should be able to take you to court and convict you by the facts that you're a Christian. And if I can't take you to court and convict you that you're a Christian, the question is, are you really a Christian? Or is your growth just stunted? Have you not been, walking with the Lord so you've dried up or whatever the case might be? And those can all be different options. But the reality is, why do we have to be able to do that? So we can go to a brother or sister that's in sin and lovingly get them back on the right path. Or so that we can evaluate those in the world that are saying, you need to accept me and support me for how I am. We can say, look, we love you. But we can't accept and support a sinful lifestyle because it's going to keep you from heaven. If we don't make a biblical evaluation of that, then we can't minister to them. We can't reach them. And my concern is oftentimes I think Christians are backed into a corner where they feel like, well, I can't say anything because, you know what, I don't want to judge. Well, that's not what he means here. He's talking about your own opinion and maybe wrong motives and with condemnation coming with it. God alone holds that in his hands. He says, for with what judgment? Now, notice he adds another aspect to this of how we do it. He says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Note that. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If I, as your pastor, come to you harshly, and I hear maybe something's going on, something in your life, whatever, and I find out that it's true, and I come to you, whatever, and I say, can we talk? You know, if I come to you gently and I approach you in love, whatever, that's going to be the way people are going to approach me. But if I come to you with my big, you know, Billy Graham finger, and Billy Graham was great, nothing against Billy Graham, but you sinner, repent, whatever, right? Or my John the Baptist finger, right? Then that's how people are going to treat me. Listen, if you're being treated harshly, you have to ask yourself, how am I treating other people? Because if you treat people harshly, God said you're going to be treated harshly. But if you treat people gently and in love, guess how you'll be treated? Gently and in love. So the measure you use is the measure that's going to come back. The way you treat others, that's the way it's going to be to come back on your own head. So he warns us about that. So even the way that we do it is to be done in love. The Bible says to go with the spirit of gentleness, to be filled with the spirit. You know, the scripture talks about you who are spiritual, restore a brother in a spirit of meekness, a spirit of gentleness. And that's what the Lord is saying here. Again, don't judge the wrong way. But then if you do judge, make sure that you go with the right, proper attitude. And he says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye? And look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, this is a rather comical illustration that the Lord uses here, and it's also rather radical. I love the radical illustrations that the Lord used, and he did that to grab our attention. Now, you don't see it until you really look at the language, how radical it is. But in the language, again, the word speck here, it means basically chaff. Or a straw or a twig. It's kind of like where you're walking somewhere and maybe there's a little, you know, dust devil, they call them, or whatever. Some kind of wind blows all this dirt in your eyes, or a piece of chaff that they were walking through the fields there during in Jerusalem in the harvest time or whatever. And it gets in their eyes like this irritant that's in there and you've got to deal with it. He's saying, look, if they've got that in their eye, but you've got in your eye, the next word he uses for the person approaching them, a plank, is the word dokos. It means beam, like giant log. Everybody would have had the image. What he said is, if some of you guys walk through these fields, like where we're doing this study right now on this hillside, which is no doubt probably a field that they raised hay in or something like that. Still today, they use those fields for that in that area. And they would have understood the illustration very clearly. Hey, if you get a little bit of the straw in your eye, and one of you guys has one of these big tree branches in your eye, you can't go walking up to the person with a tree branch in your eye and try to help them with the speck in their eye. You imagine you get this whole picture of this log coming out, you couldn't even get close enough to them, right? Because you're getting in the way. And he says, you got to remove that first. So what is he saying? Go to your own prayer closet and make sure that you have your act together before you go to a brother or sister. I had this very clearly illustrated to me with my roommate in Nashville. And of course, he wouldn't mind me sharing this. He knows the Lord now. He was a good friend then. I haven't talked to him in years, but a great guy. He knows the Lord now. But I remember we moved in together. We're both there in Nashville. We were both unsaved. We were both living lives we shouldn't be living. I won't give any more detail than that. And all of a sudden, I get saved. Well, you just signed a year's lease with a maniac, all right? This guy's walking around singing and talking about Jesus, and in his face, I must have driven the guy nuts. I know I had to. And so the whole time, he's like, you know, man, just stop it, stop it, stop it. I'm tired of hearing it, whatever. And I didn't really understand the whole pearls and swine thing. We'll get to that later. I just kept on going, man. I was pearls everywhere, and it was all getting trampled, all that stuff. But I just kept it going, right? And so finally, but here's what's funny. We would go places, and we'd be some event or whatever, and I would hear him over there sharing the gospel to these other people that he's partying with. He's partying with them, and I'm not, because I'm repentant, I'm living for God. I'm going, he's over there, Jeff's sharing the gospel with these guys. And I would just look at him, and I finally said something to him later on. What I don't know that I did before he got saved, but he got saved later on, but it was something I looked back on, you know, kind of humorously, but really that's what was happening. He was walking around with this giant pole in his eye, right, just partying with him, and telling him about Jesus. It's like you had to, when the guy went by, if he turned to look, you had to duck, you know, right, you know, you need to know Jesus, you know, whoa, what you got in your eye there, bro, you know, let's clear that out and then we can talk, right? And so what the Lord is saying is, get your heart right. Make sure that you're in a place where you can go to them. It doesn't mean perfect. None of us are perfect. But at the same time, you need to be repenting of your sin and walking with the Lord. I need to be repentant of my sin and walking with the Lord before I approach you and say, guys, there's something I've got to talk to you about. Because then it's hypocritical. And so the Lord says, do this, but don't be a hypocrite in doing it. Because he says, first remove that plank from your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And then interestingly enough, he seems to almost change subjects here, but I really believe it's tied into the whole idea of biblical and unbiblical judgment. He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot, or rather under their feet, and they turn and tear you in pieces. That's exactly what was happening with me, again, and not so much with my friend Jeff, because he wasn't really that aggressive with me, but the point is this, in your biblical discernment, you also need to know when to share and when not to share, and how to share and how not to share. You know, you start sharing with somebody, and most of the time when you share, most people will talk to you, and they'll even receive a little bit, oh, okay, all right, I see that, or whatever. And they might even say, even if they don't like it, they might be as gentle as, well, that's your opinion. I'm glad that worked for you, or whatever. But sometimes you share, and people are like, rah. You ever had that happen? You know, you like begin to share, and it's like immediately, rah. Listen, if somebody does that, just back away, or you're going to get bitten. There's no sense, he's saying, don't take my precious word that was from the foundation of the world and saved souls unto eternity. Don't take that and just throw it in front of somebody that's going to trample it in the mud. Just back off. But they need Christ. Well, you're not going to make them, you know, jump into the kingdom by forcing them. And worse yet, they may actually attack you in some form and fashion. So learn how to back off. Learn when to back off. So again, look at the importance of biblical evaluation, being able to judge the fruit, understanding with discernment what's going on. So don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't judge. You have to judge. You're commanded to judge, but biblical judgment, which we've already spent plenty of time explaining, not your own opinion, not non-biblical, not because of what you're thinking their motives are. You have to stick with the Word of God and have the mind of Christ, and that's how God uses us to rescue those out of the world as we evaluate that, and also God uses it to, again, get brothers and sisters back to the Lord. You know, listen, I am thankful that there are believers out there that understand biblical evaluation and biblical judgment, and again, I'll use my wife in this illustration. She won't care, but she's the one that God really used in great part to bring me to the Lord. Other people share with me, but she was used in a great way, and she, and actually, if you guys know Abby Martin, who's our kids ministry director, Tracy and Renee, Abby's mom, they were best friends, and they knew I didn't know the Lord. I would say that I knew the Lord. I believed that I knew the Lord. I'd done all the right things. I'd had all the classes. I'd been baptized. I'd done all that, but get this, listen. Going through a class, being baptized, even understanding that Jesus died for the sins of the world will not save you. The Bible says the demons believe that. Now, the demons haven't been baptized, granted. But listen, the demons believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The demons believe that Jesus rose from the dead. The demons believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. The demons, if you will, are believers. But are they going to get into heaven? No. Why? Because you can't just believe, you have to receive.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles, and then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, You can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today, but Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.